Hello, my name's Mike Talty and I work at Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of videos around a technology called PRISM, sometimes known as the Composite Application Guidance. This comes from the Microsoft Patterns and Practices team and largely targets building Silverlight and WPF applications. But you can use some of the techniques and the pieces delivered outside of those spaces. So you kind of get two things with PRISM. You get some documentation and you get some libraries in the form of source code that you can build up for WPF or Silverlight. And as I say, you don't have to use these inside of those kinds of applications, but some of the technologies in PRISM are specific for UI work with these two technologies. PRISM has a friend called Unity, which is another framework, and we'll talk about that as well in these videos. And in terms of finding these things, if you want to find PRISM and so on, if you just pop to a search engine, type in PRISM and CodePlex and you'll find PRISM. If you want to find Unity, type in Unity and CodePlex and you'll find Unity. If you want to find these videos, you can go to channel9mstn.com/niners/mtalty, that's me, and I'll put these videos on this site here. If you want to find me, you can go to mtalty.com, that's my blog, and you'll find it there. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/mtalty and you can find me on there as well. And if you want to find me on email, I'm just mtalty@microsoft.com. Okay, so here we are in video 8. And at the end of video 7, we'd used a few pieces of PRISM in our very simple application. We'd got it factored off into a bunch of modules that are dynamically loaded through PRISM's framework for that. We'd also got it using views and the region manager in order to manage those things, so we were doing that as well. We'd also used the sort of model view model pattern for implementing our code, and that had helped, or PRISM had helped us with that by its implementation of commanding, which we'd used as well. And we'd also got our code to a place where we had, I think, three views that all rely on one common service, the text service. And that text service fires events for change notification. And that was very handy because our three views could just sync those events and make use of them, and that worked fine. And in some places that's going to be okay if you've got a common service, but if we don't have a common service across modules and views, then how does one module or code in one module make any kind of notification to a code in another module? So for instance, if we've got a situation where we've got, say, view A and view B, and this comes from module A and this comes from module B, and let's say there is no common service across these two modules. So these have just been built entirely in isolation from each other. They both work perfectly independently. What if the view B needs to tell the view A something has changed in the application? Maybe the user has selected something. Maybe the user is wanted to close the application. Whatever it might be, it doesn't really matter. The point is that because there's no dependency between these two lumps of code in these two different modules, it's a bit tricky as to how you get notifications across from one module to another. Now, PRISM has a loosely coupled eventing system for this. It's not rocket science. It's just, obviously, what you do is you define some common service to make this happen. And PRISM already has one of these called the Event Aggregation Service. It also has another way of doing this with a special kind of context, which we'll perhaps take a look at in a subsequent video. But here we'll just mock up a scenario so that we can have a look at how this common eventing system works. And that's one more piece of PRISM that we're kind of peeling back as we get to the end of this video. Okay, so let's just shut that down. Okay, so let's just run up Visual Studio. Let's bring up that project again. And the last time we were here, what we'd done was we'd implemented a couple of views. So this view here, view 1 in this module, it makes available a command called change text command. And when that command fires, we run this piece of code here which calls text service set text. So we change the text on an underlying service. And that underlying service, this guy here, implements iTextService, which has a text changed event, which means that other users of this service can use it as a central sort of rendezvous point for receiving information about when the text changes. And I think if we look at our other two views, one of which is in this module, it handles the text changed event, and refreshes the text property by firing a change notification. And our other view, which is not in this module at all, it's down here, I think, also handles the text changed event to do a very similar thing. In fact, an identical thing. So let's imagine that our text service, let's take away this underlying capability of the text service. Let's find its interface. Let's say that it no longer fires this event. So all users of the service now do not know when the text is changing, which is a little bit tricky. Okay, so what we'll do here is we will re-implement this using the loosely coupled event system that Prism makes available to us. And so this is not perhaps a very realistic use of it, but it'll at least let us see how we can notify other modules or code in other modules in a loosely coupled way without getting tied into particular event handlers like this and sharing a service, at least a service of our own definition. So the way that works is that we need to share an event type. So the data that flows from one piece of software, the publisher, to the other piece of software, the subscriber. So let's go and do that. And I'll actually perhaps build that into my interfaces project. Now, whether that's a good idea is another question. I'm only putting it there because it's the one project I have at the moment that is referenced by every piece of software. Every other module references this project already. So let me just rename this because it's been called Class 1 for too long. That should be iText service C#. And let's add a new class into this. Let's just go ahead and say add class. And we'll call this something like, let's just make sure we can get this into add. Call it text changed event, something like that. Okay. Now, I don't have the right Prism references, I don't think, here for this. So let's just add references to the Prism libraries here. And for simplicity, I'll bring them pretty much all in, I think. Let's just bring them all in for simplicity. It's easier. Just for now. So we've got our text changed event, and what we need to derive that from is a Prism class called, I think, composite presentation event of, let's say, string. Let's see if that name's correct. Okay, so what are we doing here? Well, this is a Prism-based class, and this generic parameter here, string, means the type of data that is to flow with the event. So the type of data that flows from the publisher to the subscriber. So this could be a more complex type. It doesn't have to be a simple type like string. But in my case, it is a string that actually changes value. So I'm going to pass a string from the publisher of the event to the subscribers of the event. Okay, so we've got our new event. Let's close all that down. And let's go to the piece of code that wants to fire that event, the publisher of the event. And what I'll do is I'll put that into one of my views. I think it's view 1 that actually changes the text. And the view model behind, of course, actually does the work. So at the moment, what it was doing was it was syncing up to the text changed event. That won't really do anymore. So let's steal this piece of code, but get rid of the rest of it. That's all gone. That doesn't exist anymore. And then when the UI, when the button click happens in the UI, we call this function here to handle the command. We change the text on the underlying text service. We should probably fire the event to say that that has changed. That's just a change notification to our own view, hanging off our own view model. So that kind of notifies the view. But we need to notify other people in the application. And the way we do that is through this event aggregation service that Prism provides. Now, when we want services from Prism, what we tend to do is get them injected into the class as dependencies. So we'll do that here. And the service that we want is defined by an interface called iEventAggregator. Let's just go and bring that namespace in. We'll call that eventAggregator. And we'll go and declare ourselves a member to store that in. We'll call that eventAggregator2. And we'll go and just assign that off at construction time. So we'll say this.eventAggregator equals eventAggregator. And then what we need to do is publish this event. So we'll go ahead and say event aggregator dot get me the event. Now the event I'm actually looking for is the text changed event. And this thing will give me back a text changed event. So we'll say text changed event. Call that EVT equals that. So we get that back from the framework. So notice all we have to know about is this service, which is a Prism service, it's nothing to do with our code. So we take a dependency on this and this type of event, which we defined in our interfaces project. Then what we do is we say event.publish, and it says, okay, here is the payload that you want to publish. Now, obviously, if we used another kind of type other than a string as our payload, that would be what we'd be providing here. But here what we'll do is we'll just provide the payload, and maybe we'll send a new text. So we'll say text service get text. Okay, so that's going to provide that across. The data I'm sending is actually academic for me. It doesn't really matter. The fact is more important that we can publish an event. Whoops, so I thought we could. Let's just go back. That we can publish an event. Okay, so that's great. And so let's go now visit the two places in our other code that need to know about this event, the subscribers to the event. So let's close that file down. And we've got one view in the same module, the same project, and it's this one here. This is the view model behind it. And let's go to that. And what it was doing was waiting for the text to be changed, which isn't really going to work. So let's take this piece of code again that fires a change notification. And this view model now also needs iEvent aggregator. Again, a base class will probably help in all this. But we'll just do that like so. And we'll say it takes iEvent aggregator. Aggregator, and we'll call that event aggregator. I think I broke the IntelliSense somewhere. Probably just about there. Okay. And we'll just say this dot, in fact we don't even need to store this. What am I doing? Let's not do that. Let's just say event aggregator dot get me the event, which is going to be our text changed event. Get that for me. And let's say event.subscribe. And essentially, it's what code do we want to run at the point where this happens. So let's say on text change received, something like that. We'll just write, this is going to be the new text. Now, in my particular code, I don't need the new text. All I really need to do is make sure that the view refreshes itself from the text property, because that will call the text service and get the new value. So I'm just going to fire a property change notification in there. That should be fine. So that was one of my views, and in fact I think I can just go and pretty much copy this into one of my other views. We'll write it out again, but let's pop over. I have another module with another view in it, and that has a view model behind it, and that is currently trying to handle text change, which it can't do anymore, so let's get rid of that. And let's go and say event aggregator, which we haven't injected yet. Pass that in. Let's go and say event aggregator dot get me the event, which is the text changed event. We'll define that as a text changed event. Now we say event.subscribe. Let me just see if we can compile. I think we've broken our IntelliSense a little. This is probably the fact that we're missing a reference in module B. Let's just make sure we add a reference to the assembly. Maybe if we go back, that's perhaps why my IntelliSense was broken. So let's go event subscribe. Once again, let's give it a function to call on text changed. And we'll write that function. And from there, we'll just fire change notification. Okay, so let's build. Let's put a breakpoint in our module. Sorry, let's put a breakpoint here in this view in module B. Let's put a breakpoint here in this view in module A. And let's put a breakpoint, if we can just find it, where the event is originally fired from. So it's going to be here. Let's press F5. And so now what we've got is three views coming from two modules. And one of those views fires an event in a pretty loosely coupled way. It doesn't actually have any event handlers on a common service anymore. It just sort of fires an event out to the application saying the text has changed. And then we have two other views that pick that up. One is in the same module and one is not in the same module. So all that those views know about is effectively the type of the event args, and that's pretty much they all know about. Underneath, of course, underpinned by a common service from Prism. So when we come to change our text, so let's change this to something like that, change the text. So here we are publishing that event from one view, and then here we are picking that up in one of the other views, and here we are picking that up in another view. And of course it goes back to doing the right thing in terms of the length of the string and the first word in the string. That's not really the point. The point is that we broadcast that event out in a loosely coupled way, to the cooperating modules, views, services that are interested in that event. And the underlying common dependency is not one of our own. It's just on that event aggregation service that's part of Prism. So, pretty easy thing to understand, pretty simple to see why you might want it, so that you can fire events across modules without having to take common dependencies between them. There's another way in which we can share data across modules with a thing called a region context, and what we'll do is perhaps snip this video and come back in the next video and take a look at region context and how they're a way of sharing common data as well. So let's come back and do that.